I'm sorry, your call cannot be completed as dialed. Please try your call again later. Thank you very much. Have you ever heard that? That has to be the worst thing ever. It's always when you need to get a hold of somebody, or you're running late and they're expecting you for something, or there's kind of an important thing that you are waiting to speak with this person about. I have, and it's extremely frustrating. That loss of communication is just horrible. The way we communicate with each other has become this life-altering thing where we have to be readily accessible every second of every day. The days of, well, I'm going to work and I'll see you in 8 hours, that's long gone. I need to be accessible to somebody, and I need to be able to reach somebody within 5 seconds of when it strikes me that I need to reach them. But today we're going to talk about the type of communication that is even more important in our daily lives, our communication with our Heavenly Father, and the work of the Holy Spirit in that communication. So let's take a moment and pray. Father, we just thank you for allowing us to be here this morning. We thank you for talking about what you were able to do in Zacatecas, what you've been doing around here, just some faces that we're seeing, Lord, just prayers answered, so many good things, so many people that we haven't seen for so long, just smiles on faces. Lord, you are able to do so much more than we could ever hope, and we just thank you for sending your Holy Spirit to be our helper and our guide in prayer and in many other things. Lord, take this time together and allow us to focus on you and focus on how we can communicate with you on a daily basis, on a minute-by-minute basis. And we will give you all the thanks and honor. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So 2 weeks ago, I had the opportunity to talk to you about the Holy Spirit and how he fills the gaps between, anybody remember, between our limitations, and what he wants to accomplish or do. Yeah, the Holy Spirit fills those gaps between the two. We have a powerful tool when we become followers of Christ: the privilege of prayer, the privilege of communicating with the only true God, with the only true living God. I think if we understood the power of prayer and the Holy Spirit's involvement in prayer, that intricate process of prayer, I think we would pray more often and see more results in our prayer lives. Romans 8, 26 and 27 tells us that the Spirit himself intercedes according to the will of God. Oftentimes, we don't know how to pray. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. So today, I want to talk about just a couple points that about who the Holy Spirit is when it comes to our prayer lives, and how he's involved with helping us in our prayer lives. And I hope that the few passages of Scripture, some are going to be a little bit of a review from a couple weeks ago. Some we've been talking about all summer, but I hope that we can kind of take these points and keep those in mind on our daily communication with our Heavenly Father, and keep those in mind as we go about our days. The first thing I want to talk about, the first point I want to make, is the Holy Spirit is our practical helper, We need the Holy Spirit to be our helper in prayer because we struggle in prayer. We don't know what to ask. We don't know the mind of God or what he intends to accomplish in this specific instance. Last week, I had no idea what God was going to do. I had no idea who God wanted to invite to these events. ESL, the English classes, the English camp, the VBS services, the people we were going to meet. I didn't know if it was going to be adults, if they were going to be kids. We didn't know if they were going to be kids who were the top of their class that could speak not just one language, probably not just two languages, but maybe on working on their third and be very fluent with those languages. Or if they were going to be individuals that had special needs, that needed that just a little extra encouragement, that little extra time. We didn't know how they were going to be invited, whether it was going to be John Howard at the front gate with a sign inviting everybody who drove past them about the events, inviting them to the events that we had going on. We didn't know it was going to be Lucas and Ben or Gideon at the bus stop, accosting every person getting on that bus, saying, "We have these events that we would love to invite you to." Or if it was going to be Steve Jackson, who was walking up and down the villages like a town crier with anybody who he could reach to talk to them about the events that we had, where they could hear about Jesus. The Holy Spirit knew exactly what we were there to do, exactly what He wanted us to do. He knew who needed to be there and who was going to be there. We struggle in prayer. If you ever think that a struggle in prayer is linked to a lack of faith or a poor relationship with God, let me give you a couple verses to think about. We're going to discuss a couple of these. People in these verses that struggled in prayer, and they had anything but a poor relationship with their Heavenly Father. The first is John 12, verse 24. Jesus was talking to His followers, His disciples, about His death that was coming. Verse 27 says, "What shall I say, Father? Save me from this hour? This is the reason that I came. This is the reason that I was sent. Glorify Your name." He knew what was about to happen. He knew what needed to happen. And He struggled with what was happening, what was going to happen. Glorify Your name. He struggled in His humanity, however, in His humanness. Matthew 26, verse 39. In the garden, Jesus said, "My Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me." He knew the horrors that were about to take place, that were about to come upon Him. He knew what was about to happen. But we know how when He struggled with that and even asked, "Lord, if it's possible for this cup to pass by me," He still turned it and said, "But not my will, but Your will be done." In Philippians chapter 1, Paul, in verse 21 through 24, Paul wanted to be with Christ. This struggle was, he had gone through all these things. He had gone through so much in his life. And he knew it was time. He wanted to be with his Savior, to be with his Lord. He just wanted to be with Him. But he knew in this struggle, he knew that he was needed to be here a little longer. He knew that for the people around him, for his followers, for the people that he was praying for, praying with, the people that he was there with, they needed him to be there a little longer. In 2 Corinthians 12, 7, Paul struggled with God three times about a thorn in the flesh that he had. A lot of people think it was his eyesight. Whatever the situation was, he asked three times, he struggled with God. And God said, my grace is sufficient. I got your back. I love you. My grace is sufficient. We discussed a couple weeks ago that the Holy Spirit has many jobs that He does. He teaches us. He guides us. He interprets the truth. But one of His big jobs is to help us in prayer. John 14, 16, Jesus was talking to His disciples, and He said that the Father will give you another helper to be with you forever. Verse 26 says, He will bring to your remembrance all that I, again, Jesus speaking here, all that I have told you. In the next chapter, 15, 26, He says, He will bear witness about me. Again, Jesus, He will bear witness about me. in chapter 15, verse 26, when he says he will bear witness about me. Jesus then in chapter 16 says, Jesus said that it is to your advantage that I go. Imagine hearing that. It's to your advantage that I go because I'm going to send the helper. I'm going to send the helper that will be with you forever. They would have a helper. We will have a helper forever. Not like the Spirit in the Old Testament, and we've just talked about that, not like the Spirit of God in the Old Testament who came upon somebody for a short time, like David or Samson or Saul. But every believer will have this practical helper. So that's point one, he's a practical helper. Number two, he's a personal helper. What a beautiful expression of love that our Heavenly Father has for us, that he would send us a personal helper. God's value on prayer is paramount. He gave us the very best to help us in prayer. Not an angel, not another believer, but part of the triune God to be our helper, to be our personal helper. This absolutely cannot be neglected. To be obedient, to be powerful, to be effective followers of Jesus. He is personal to us. The third point, he is an available helper. We have never heard, nor will we ever hear. I'm sorry, the line is busy. Your call cannot be completed as dialed. We have instantaneous access to the throne of God every moment of our lives when we become believers. He is available to us. And the fourth point, he is an able helper. Lacking in nothing. Is there any problem too big for him? Of course not. He is absolute. He has absolute and complete knowledge of everything, past, present, and future. He is omniscient. There's no miscommunication with him. We don't have to worry about miscommunicating anything to God. If you are afraid to pray the wrong thing, actually, if you're afraid to pray, period, then you really need to pray. Because the enemy loves it when we are afraid to pray. He loves it when that line of communication is separated. So at that point, if you're ever afraid that you're going to pray the wrong thing, or if you're ever afraid to pray, period, that's the time that we need to be praying. I noticed this time going to Mexico that, I've had the opportunity to go on every one of the mission trips that we've had. I've been on other ones. And this time, for some reason, from the start that we were planning this, there were a lot of questions that I had. Things like, well, maybe this is not the right time, Trisha's health. There are things around the world that are kind of crazy. Maybe it's not the right time. Monetary issues. Do we really want to take kids down to a place where there's cartel activity? All these things that were going through my mind. And then I realized none of those questions were coming from God. I would have missed out, we would have missed out on a tremendous blessing had we not gone down there. You heard about it this morning. Just different people that were debating about that were thinking about it, that answered God and saying, I'm ready to go. He is able, but the Spirit helps us in prayer. He understands our weaknesses. That was one of my weaknesses. I get in my head and I start thinking and I let it get to me and I start thinking about these things and, well, maybe this and maybe that. He understands our weaknesses. He knows the gaps between our abilities and what he wants to accomplish. We don't have to understand what he wants to do. We just have to be obedient to him. I may think I know what's best for my life, but I am normally very wrong. If God answered my prayers in high school and college the way I wanted them to be answered, I would probably be divorced multiple times and probably in prison somewhere. But he knew what was best for me. He knew my shortcomings. He knew what I needed to learn when I needed to learn them. And he knew what he wanted to accomplish. Sometimes I don't know what to pray. Sometimes it's easy. Sometimes we can pray for somebody and it's pretty easy. You can learn something. You can pray. If you would turn to Colossians chapter 1. It's going to be up on the screen, but if you have it in your Bibles, I urge you. I see a couple of laughs already. I urge you, if you have not really thought through this and prayed through this verse, think about who you could be praying for in this way. If each one of you prayed for me in this way, I would be very, very grateful. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. This is a safe prayer. Think about what it says here. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, Paul says, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Next. So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. One more. Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy. Filled with his knowledge of his will, walk in a manner that pleases God, fully pleasing to God, bearing fruit in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened in all power, endurance, having endurance, patience with joy. I know that every elder in this room would love it, would be very appreciative if you prayed for us like that on a daily basis. And you can't pray wrong when you pray something like that, right? But sometimes it's not that easy to pray. It's not that easy to know what to pray about. I like how the King James Version says, don't know the what to pray sometimes. Sometimes we don't know the what to pray. I may not know the what God wants to accomplish in this specific instance, but he knows what we need. He knows what our needs are. One of my favorite passages of Scripture that many of you have heard me say over and over and over again is Matthew chapter 6, verse 31. And most of you can quote it. Don't be anxious. Don't worry about what you will eat. Don't worry about what you're going to drink, or don't worry about what you're going to wear. Let the people who don't have faith in God, let the unbelievers get migraine headaches over worrying about that. Let them get the chest pains over worrying about it. Let them have the sleepless nights over worrying about that stuff. But your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Worry about his kingdom and his righteousness, and he'll take care of everything else. He'll take care of all that other stuff. I think about what would we say today, like if we had that passage, maybe gas in our car, I don't know, the boss being friendly to us at work. But he knows our needs. He knows what we need. He knows what we need to eat, what we need to drink, what we need to wear. He knows all those things. 1 Corinthians 2:11 says, who knows the thoughts of man but the spirit of man? And who knows the Father's thoughts? Who knows the Father's will except for the Spirit of God? He knows and will reveal the will of the Father. When? In His timing. Not in my timing. That's a big problem for me. I don't know about you, but that's a big problem for me. I want it in my timing. That's not good. My timing is horrible. You can ask anybody that I'm in a board meeting with or a business meeting with. My timing's horrible sometimes. His timing is perfect. He will reveal that to us in His timing. Remember we discussed last time about John chapter 16, verse 12. When Jesus was talking to His disciples, and He said, after all these things that they had learned, all these things that they had to experience, all these great things throughout His ministry that He taught them and that they did, essentially all these credentials that they had built up, He said to them, "You are not yet ready." I imagine that would be a pretty big blow to them. What do you mean we're not ready? What else could we do to be ready? And He said, when the Holy Spirit gets involved, that's when you'll be ready. My education, my bank account, my last name will never be enough. And it doesn't have to be. That, I told you 2 weeks ago, that was one of the most comforting passages of Scripture to me. One of the most encouraging passages of Scripture to me. None of that has to be enough. I don't have to be enough. He knows what I need and He fills those gaps. We can always be learning God's Word. You want to know God's will for your relationship, your job, your children, your life? Get in the manual. The Helper reveals God's will through His Word. Did you ever think about that time that you turn somewhere in Scripture and you go, man, that was almost like, it was like it was written for me. It was like it was written directly for me. That's because it was. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He says, David, look, you got to see this. This is for you. The Helper does that. He interprets that. He does that. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10 says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind could imagine what God has in store for those that love Him. This is revealed to us by the Spirit. How does the Spirit help us in prayer? Romans 8, 26 says, the Spirit intercedes with groanings too deep for words. Wow. Too deep for words. Without words, He expresses feelings that we can't express. We have no idea. Have you ever been so grieved that you can't get that across to God? So worried, so troubled, so upset that you don't know what to say to God? The Holy Spirit knows. The Holy Spirit intercedes with groanings too deep for words. When His children come to Him, we have instant access to Him, not based on our performance or goodness, but based on the shed blood of Jesus Christ. But the Holy Spirit knows how to help us and helps us. The Holy Spirit takes our petitions to the throne of God, where Jesus intercedes at the Father's right hand for us to the Father, and our prayer is answered. How detailed, how intricate for me. Just for me. Do we ever have to worry that if we pray the wrong thing, God will answer that and it will be something awful for us? Absolutely not. Verse 27 says, he intercedes according to the will of God. He knows the Father's will. Man, what an intricate network just for us. That's not surprising. Not surprising at all. Ever study the human eye? We've talked about that before. Trust me, you will not appreciate the 400 muscles of the human eye that have to work perfectly in order for you to see an image or interpret that image properly until your 8-year-old son has eyes that don't function properly. At that moment in time, I promise you that you will appreciate the complexity, the intricacy of our Creator and our Designer. Tricia may never have appreciated the intricacies of the ball and socket of the human hip in the 30 years that she was making her body do all kind of crazy things on that softball field to accomplish all the things that she did. But guess what? She does now. So a magnificent design of prayer should surely not surprise us by that intelligent designer. That intricate network of prayer allows us to be involved in the will of God instantly and effectively. Wow. I get all excited about that. We rely on the Spirit for His guidance and direction. He is there. We just have to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. We do that, number one, by being saved. You can't call on somebody that you don't trust as your Savior. You can't call upon the name of someone that you don't believe. You can't call on somebody on whom you don't rely. Jesus' payment on the cross is what allows our prayers to reach the Father. Otherwise, the communication is broken. That gap is way too big for us to get through. I've been asked the question, so can an unsaved person's prayer not reach God? Well, I always ask then, to whom is that person praying? It's not to his Savior or her Savior. But you got to be saved. Number two, you have to yield to the will of God. Not my will, but yours, Lord. Whatever you want may not make sense to me, but it's your will. Remember, we talked about the flesh, living according to the flesh, or living according to the Spirit. You got to choose one or the other. You can't choose both. You live according to the flesh, that self, worrying about the self, opposition to God, contradiction to God, in rebellion to God, His Word tells us, or you live according to the Spirit, led by His strength, by His truth. You got to choose. You can't live your way in rebellion, striving after what you want, and at the same time expect the power of the Holy Spirit to be accessible to you to come before the Almighty. You can't do it. God always knows what we need, which can be very different from what we want sometimes, but He knows what is best. There is nothing better than God's will. We're going to a funeral. If actually, Trisha's looking at her watch because I'm going to be running late. We're going to a funeral this afternoon of a young lady who, she was watching her daughter the way she had 100 times on the softball field. And she went under a tree to get some shade. And she heard a crack above her head. A big branch came down and hit her in the head and killed her. So for anybody to say to me, how could you go to another country right now with the world as it is? How could you go to an area where there's cartel, where there's other things, other crazy things going on? How could you take kids there? Again, I repeat, There is no better or safer place to be than in the will of God. We could have anything happen to us at any given second. So make the most of every one of those seconds. So the question is needed. When we find out this information and we're brought to this, to our mind, will we keep praying the way we've always prayed? As needs arise, when something bad happens, when we get in trouble, before meals is kind of a nod out to God to thank Him for to make our meal taste better? Or will you understand that there is nothing more powerful that we can ever do than to take part in the Father's will for our lives and the lives of those around us? To tap into a personal, powerful, practical, and available helper to communicate with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Do you realize the access you have, and I have, to the omniscient, omnipotent power of the Almighty? When we hear the phrase, prayer changes things, we need to understand the Holy Spirit changes things. We have availability to be involved in that power. Prayer is God's great potential, great privilege for the child of God. When you ask Him and surrender your will to His, there is no limitation to what God will do in your life. Let's pray. Father, You are a good God. You love us so much that You have provided a helper beyond anything that we could ever imagine. That helper is perfect. That helper is available to us. That helper is able. That helper is personal. You have provided that for us because of Your love for us. Lord, as we go throughout our days, may we tap into that power. May we understand the name that we call upon. May we understand that it's only through Your power can anything get accomplished. It's definitely not our power. It's Your power. And may we understand the need on a daily basis to rely upon You. It's in Jesus' name we ask these things.